You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on June 4, 2025, and is titled, It's Obvious. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
We kind of had a big day today and at the cow sale, and they're still going on, and we were short-handed, and one of the hands that's there, he wasn't just plumb clicking along the very best, so I told him I'd stay till the last minute and then take off and come over here, which is fine. I asked Robin if she was going to get them cookies and get the coffee started. She stayed home tonight because we almost called this off, but Texas Tech softball girls are playing the championship tonight, and there was a lot of praising Jesus going on when they whipped up Oklahoma the other day. So anyhow, she wanted to watch the ball game, so I told her, I said, that's great. Why don't you stay home and I'll just come home with you. But anyhow, so we're a little bit scattered around here tonight, but we'll have a good time in the Word and get to doing the Murphs. Jim is still sitting over there buying cows. And so anyhow, here's what happened with service tonight. Life kind of bumped into it. You know, and that's Murph and I were talking about it today. And that is the cool thing about this little setup right here, is everybody that walks in those doors are living real life, including the guy up here at the front. It's real life. We've been making a living doing what we do, and sometimes things get a little crowded. Sometimes things aren't quite as organized as you'd hope. Sometimes you can't go by the protocols exactly. You just have – some things just happen. That's what I love about this little outfit. There's nothing staged. There's nothing programmed. And tonight we're going to get in the Bible and we're going to learn and I'm going to teach a little bit and share a little bit. And it'll all be real life. And tonight especially, because you know what we're missing in America today? There's a void. There's a void between institutionalism and real life. There's a big disconnect. I mean, when you sit around, and I try not to do it so much anymore because I'm going to tell you what, you can just pour so much idiot on me and then I've had enough. I'm going to do something else. And so, you know, listening to our politicians and even listening to some of the preachers, and you listen to some of the stuff that's going on today and you just wonder, how in the world can normal human beings get this cotton picking stupid? I mean, really. Horses don't get that dumb. Cows don't get that dumb. The birds don't get that dumb. I don't know about that much about fish, but I know there's not very many of them dumb enough to bite my hook. I know that. So they're not that dumb. So how does this happen? And I really do believe that even in the church, we got so heaven bound that we created a disconnect, almost a disconnect between real life and God. Now, God's been with me all day today and I've been with him. We've been at the cow sale together. I didn't come over here tonight so I could finally meet up with him for a day after a day of the cow sale. No, this is part of what we do, and some days you have to squeeze stuff in, and some days you have to navigate the waters, but it's real life. And the truth of the matter is, it's real life and real Jesus and has been the whole time. There's a God that created this life. Then he left it up to us to figure out what the heck we was going to do with it. Who we're going to listen to, who we're going to believe, how are we going to act? How are we going to react? How are we going to live? And when we got a whole world out there that wants to pretend it's smarter than God, we got a whole world out there that's choosing to live smooth upside down. I mean smooth upside down. And so we're going to talk about what Paul said tonight about some of that. But the one thing we have to do We have to learn how to live, or you'll never enjoy the promise that God gave you from the beginning. He said, I came to give life and give it to the full. And the enemy has a large voice, and that voice of chaos throughout the world wants to rob you of the fullness of that life. And there's just no need in it. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. And you don't have to be the sharpest crayon in the box. You just got to be you, and you got to be willing. But you got to be able to stick your head up and look around and pay attention. And you do have to have some semblance of a desire not to remain as stupid this week as you were last week. I mean, if we'll just try to, you know, Trevor Brazil, I don't know if a lot of you know who he is, but, you know, the most accomplished rodeo cowboy in the world. And he's a friend of mine. And he's a good guy. I mean, a good guy. But he started a deal a long time ago that if you'll try today to get 1% better, he started this with the horses. If you can get your horse to do 1% better today than you did yesterday, in 100 days, I know everybody here is not a genius, but in 100 days, how many percents better are you? 100. It doesn't work that way? Oh, you just sit there and be still. Just sit there and be still. I'm going to tell this story. Just because Robin's gone doesn't mean I need female supervision. But honestly, do we as a people really try to do better? Try to be smarter? Try to be wiser? Try to be more knowledgeable? Try to be more fruitful? Yeah. And it's not that hard. Somehow in the midst of religion, we made it hard. It's not hard. Do you know there's not one place you have to be to please Jesus? Boy, it got quiet. Do you know that? There's not a certain time of day that you please Jesus. There's not a certain day of the week that you please Jesus. You either live a life that pleases Jesus or you don't. And if all the things we do helps us find that life, then glory to God. But if we don't find that life and we don't find the simplicity of it, we keep making it harder than it is. We keep listening to all the voices around us. And we're going to be in trouble. And you don't have to look very far to tell that as a society, we're in trouble. The church has held the bridle reins on this from the beginning. You know we're the only people that can be responsible for this because we're the only people who supposedly know what we're doing. Everybody else lost as a herd of ducks. The sad part about it is now you can't tell which ducks are which. The lost ones or the found ones, you know? So tonight, this was perfect lead up. I told them at the cow sale a while ago, we were sitting up there, and I mean, I've been cramming them cows through that gate as fast as I can all day today. So I didn't leave too much at the end for Tommy, the last guy, have to do too much on his own after I left. So we've been just mashing on the gas all day. And I leaned over at the girls that was clerking and weighing, and I said, you know what's going to be funny? They're going to see me come bouncing in here late tonight, and a few of them's going to think that there's going to be kind of a short message tonight because I'm a little jammed up. And I said, you know, I got up this morning ready to give them the whole bale of hay. So yeah, don't be thinking you're getting off the hook just because I've been working all day. Yeah, you know what? I may just go nuts tonight because I didn't get my nap this afternoon. So anyhow, without any further ado here, we'll pray and we'll get in the word here. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your spirit, that we never have to do this on our own. And that, Lord, your creation reveals your glory. Your creation reveals you. It's not that hard. So tonight, Lord Jesus, use your word, use this time to reveal to us what this really supposed to be, what this really supposed to look like, and help us leave here and do our best and do it all to your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, and just in case you thought I was a little rough on Carolyn a minute ago, me and her got us a little old thing. We spar quite regular, so don't y'all be getting any funny ideas. I don't have time for too many sparring partners, but me and Carolyn got our own thing going. Hey, get your Bibles and look in Romans 1. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to be absent next week, but we'll be back. And we're going to continue on in the book of Romans. I'm going to do chapter 1 tonight, and I'm going to come back in a couple weeks, and I'm going to do chapter 1 again. You can't cover chapter 1 all in one night, but I got a couple spots I want to hit. And so we'll come back, and we'll hit it, and we're going to do that. We're going to just do the chapters until we're done doing the chapter. And then we'll move on to the next phase whenever we get opportunities. So Romans chapter 1, a great book. You know, if you've grown up in Christianity, you've heard about the Roman road and the pathway to salvation and everything that's in the book of Romans. There's some significant details, especially in Romans chapter 1. It's a go-to chapter that we should have been going to for a long time. We absolutely should be going to today because it's a revealer of the human condition. This in chapter 1, we'll see. Now, if you were in Bible study yesterday morning, you'll remember that I told them in Bible study yesterday morning, we were teaching out of 2 Peter chapter 3, and he said, I'm going to tell you this to remind you. He's talking about those who had pure minds, and he said, I'm going to remind you. And here's what I told Bible study yesterday morning, and I believe it to be true, and I hope we all can begin to become part of this. But these scriptures should be a reminder. Our times together should be a reminder. Yeah, there'll be some newbies in the crowd every now and then. There'll be some fresh faces around here. Maybe some people who aren't learned in the Bible yet, but we'll encourage them to read their Bibles for themselves. And when we come into these words, they should be reminders. I had a guy ask me today, he said, do you not have to go home and study before tonight? And I said, not in Romans 1. I've been doing Romans 1 for 30 years. No, I can just almost blindfold me and quote it to you. I can sure give you the Steve Friscup redneck version. Real easy. So let this word remind us. And tonight, it's going to be a reminder. There's some things in here that will remind us. So I, Paul, the bondservant of Jesus Christ. I always love that, and I'm not going to just belabor every line, but Paul calls himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a servant of the Lord. He said, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is what Paul, this is how he's telling them who's writing this letter. And every time I do this and Paul does this, the only time that it ever really related to me was in 1 Timothy where he says, I am a sinner of whom I am the worst. And that was the first time in my life that I thought, me and Paul got a lot in common. A sinner who is the worst. 30 years later, bondservant to Jesus Christ, separated to the gospel. Is that your resume? Talking about Jesus, can you elaborate on that? Son of God, through the lineage of David, birthed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's what set him apart, raised him from the dead. Do you know the Holy Spirit is who sets us apart? Because we've been raised from the dead. We've already been raised from the dead. We're already raised from the dead. You used to be dead, now you're not dead. If you're still dead, you're not born again. You need to get undead. Get undead. And so it's the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. It's just by obedience to the faith. receive grace and apostleship. You know what's weird about Christianity today? We got all kinds of teaching about grace. We got difficult grace, hard grace, powerful grace, greasy grace, easy grace, amazing grace. Nobody talks about the offices or the gifts of the Holy Spirit anymore. If they do, they do it in private. You got to be careful because men will seek labels and positions. Paul simply said the grace of God and the apostleship of God go hand in hand. And because of such things, Paul, I can write this letter to you, Rome, and tell you what I wish, tell you what I hope, and tell you what I know. That's a pretty darn good resume right there. And he said, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, for you all, and your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Do you know that's how Christianity used to be in the United States of America? Did you know that? That our faith was talked about all over the world. We had missionaries all over the country. We were a Christian nation. We were the nation that prayed. We were the nation that openly praised God. We were called a Christian nation by all other nations until some president took office one day, about the 44th president in the United States, that boldly declared from the front of the White House that we were no longer a Christian nation. He's an idiot. I don't care who you think you are or how smart you think you are. You don't get to boss people around when it comes to God. And you sure don't get to boss him around. But we got to reclaim our spot. You know that not very many years ago that communities and states and even our country looked to the true church, the power of God, to pray, to meet people's needs, to handle the things in the spiritual realm that had been manifest in the physical realm. We didn't do token days and token moments where we're going to have a capital Bible study or we're going to have a national day of prayer. The church doesn't need a national day of prayer. The church prays every day. The church prays all day. The church prays with power. The church prays by faith. We're not dictated by a calendar. We're not dictated by a man. Playing church became commonplace in America, and the church lost her place. Tonight I'm going to tell you how to get it back. Tonight I'm going to tell you how to get it. And you ain't going to believe how simple this is. You ain't going to believe it. You can't even jump up and down and scream and holler and preach to make something happen. It's already happened. And he says right here, he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request of it by some means. Now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. He's been praying to come to Rome, praying to come to Rome. I want to add one little old thing, and we'll come back and visit this again in the weeks to come. Who do you pray for and where are you going? That's just a question I want you to write in your Bible so where you're studying Romans here over the next couple weeks. Who have you asked God to let you visit? Dang, it gets all quiet again. Who have you asked God to let you visit? Who you been praying for? Who's God preparing you to bring a message of hope and direction or whatever? He's praying to go to Rome, yet he ain't getting to go yet. And he says right here, he said, for I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Now I know that in certain groups of Christianity, we can take that one line about imparting a spiritual gift and we can be like a runaway stagecoach with that one. But you're going to have to find some guy that's got some special anointing that his cup is overflowing so he can go splash a little on you somewhere. Won't you just be that guy? Won't you be that gal? Impart some wisdom. Impart some spirituality into somebody. We've talked about this a lot over the last weeks. Remember when I read, what is it, out of Acts chapter 3, when John and Peter were standing at the door with the beggar, wasn't it? And then who that was, John and Peter, and they said, look at me, look at me. Well, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I now give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. Remember what we talked about that night? What do you have? What can you impart to somebody else? I tell you what I did the other night, neighbor. I imparted silence to those dogs. I didn't kill them. No. I was hoping God did, but I didn't. I just prayed in the name of Jesus. You shut up. Go in the house. It said right here. Or that your owners would simply come out of a coma and let you inside. I mean, I prayed a lot of stuff with them dogs yapping a word. He says right here, he said, I want to impart some spiritual gift, that is, that I may encourage, be encouraged together with you by mutual faith. That's why we come together. This is what we do. We encourage each other with mutual faith. You know, even at the Sale Barn every Wednesday, there are certain people that really do walk by faith. We have a really good time together. We encourage each other. Yes, we want to impart things to people who don't know Jesus. We want to be an influence to people who don't know Jesus, but we are encouraged daily. In my everyday life, I am encouraged with somebody. Not just encouraged by somebody. So here's my next question. Who do you encourage? And who encourages you? And again, a hush falls over the crowd. He says right here, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. I had to repent this morning after I read that again, because I'd kind of made up my mind that I just wanted to take a week off from dummies. I'd been dummied out. But he says that I'm a debtor both to the Greeks, the barbarians, and to the wise and the unwise. So I'm not going to tell anybody which group you're in. I'm just going to hang out with all of you and call it good. How's that? I'm going to quit distinguishing between the groups. How many of y'all do that? You ever distinguish between the groups? Which group do you talk about the most? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. You're going to have to come to do an altar call after a while. I live around people who's had a cowboy hat squeezing on their head for 40 years. He says right here, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How many of us have lived our Christianity from Sunday to Sunday? Mistake to mistake? Talking about living from glory to glory, most of us wouldn't even know what that meant. Wouldn't know how to describe it. What about faith to faith? Do you walk by faith? Like when things get difficult, it's pretty easy to start seeking God. What about when the road gets a little easier? What about just What about when you mess up? How many of y'all got enough faith to believe that you're forgiven? That's a pretty easy nod. But boy, we're a bunch of guilty suckers. I mean, we wear it around like a robe. Faith to faith. That's called life. Faith to faith. Step by step.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.